Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by Fast Track Funnels, the new way to bring in consistent daily sales for your business in 2025 without cold outreach or burning cash on ads. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Download the free step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we did it at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Roy Osing. He's a guy who took a startup internet company to $1 billion in annual sales. He's the only author, entrepreneur, and executive leader who delivers practical and proven, audacious, unheard of ways to produce high-performing businesses and successful careers. Roy is a former president, CMO, and entrepreneur with over 40 years of successful and unmatched executive leadership experience in every aspect of business. Roy, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
Well, rather than say get stuff done, I'd rather target it to creating a high performance organization. You can get a lot of stuff done and not go anywhere. We both know that. And so you know, my view is we as leaders need to target to a high performing organization. And the real simple fact is you need to be different. You need to be able to differentiate yourself in a way people care about. And to be honest with you, Josh, it's being woefully done today by businesses. And so I've had to create my own approach to differentiation. And it's not your common universal selling propositions. It's what I call the only statement. You don't want to be better. You don't want to be best. You don't want to be, you know, number one. You don't want to be market leaders. I tag that as claptrap, aspirational, and narcissistic. Okay. It's your view of you. What you need to be is the only one that does what you do as it relates to what people care about and crave. So I call out my only statement. Differentiation is absolutely critical. If you, starting out or right now going through your business, haven't figured that out, I want you to take a full stop. Okay, don't go further until you figure that out. I mean, I talk to CEOs of startups every day, and the biggest mistake they make, they do not sit down and do the differentiation work. And they literally become one of the 50% of the startups that die in the first 60 months of their existence. Don't do that. Start with differentiation.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, I'm a marketing guy, and there's a lot of reasons that you want to be the only one, not necessarily the best one or better than this, or you know, I came through the ranks, but I'm the only one that does this. And the one reason that I want to point out, and you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, is about objections. There are reasons that people decide to do business with you, and there are lots and lots of reasons that people decide not to do business with you. And the number one reason that they decide not to do business with you is, I just don't think that's going to work for me. And the number one reason that people don't think it's going to work for them is because they feel like they've tried it before. But when you're the only one that does it this way, it neutralizes that objection, at least that reason for it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because to me, if I'm going to be the only one, then you can't say, well, I tried that before, it doesn't work. No, because nobody else does it. I'm the only one. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, look, at the word relevance comes up, okay? The reason that most organizations don't achieve what they want to is they're irrelevant to what their customers crave in one way or the other. The only statement is not a tactic you just write down, okay? I've created a whole process to do this. The only statement is a derivative of what your target customer groups crave. And so if you don't know what they crave, stop the work and do the work on what they crave. And so the only statement construct is all based on what your target market craves. Ergo, it's totally irrelevant. You will never get an objection if you do this right. And of course, part of the process is testing it, you know, to make sure that it's true, that you're claiming something that is actually true and it's relevant, something that customers care about. And so, yeah, my experience is this is absolutely groundbreaking and earth-shattering. I mean, I work with small businesses on this. I created a strategic game planning process, of which creating the only statement is part. And we do this in literally 48 hours. And businesses do this work when they're finished. I'm not kidding you. Their eyes are like this. I mean, they are so energized. And when they get out there in the marketplace, they literally have very little objection because it's created in the image of what their customers crave. And all you do is you get competitors kind of looking in, going, oh my God, oh my God, what's going on here? And of course, you have to be prepared to move and shake depending on what your competitors do. But it's the way to beat the way the world is these days, that everybody's claiming, superlatives and comparatives, and they're being narcissistic. They're claiming what they think they are, but that's not the point of differentiation. It ain't about you. And it's not about products and services, and it's not about technology, because fundamentally, everybody's got the same of that anyway. It's about figuring out how to satisfy cravings the way nobody else does. And of course, cravings is an important word here, Josh, because it's highly passionate and emotionally driven. And that's the whole point. Only addresses an emotional requirement, which tends to be less price sensitive, right, than other things, tends not to have a lot of competition. And the reason for that is nobody's playing in the space. And so play in the craving space, create an only statement, get to understand what your customers crave, and watch what you are able to do from a performance point of view. It's bloody brilliant.
This reminds me of we watched this show on, I think it's like the History Channel or something, and it's the food that built America, and it's about all of these entrepreneurs at the turn of the century who are trying to figure out how to satisfy cravings, and one of them was Hershey. One of them was an employee of Hershey's, which was H.B. Reese, who was secretly making his own chocolates off to the side and couldn't get it right, and started using this newfangled product called peanut butter that nobody was using. And then suddenly, like, peanut butter and chocolate satisfies everybody's cravings, and he builds this billion-dollar empire from it. And so that's when I hear that, I go immediately to all of these food entrepreneurs who are just trying to satisfy like an actual physical craving for, some sweet or some salty thing. It's fascinating.
I mean, there is an application on that micro level, but strategically, it has a much more pronounced impact at a higher level. Let me give you an example. I just completed a job with a boat seller in Ontario. Okay, he was in the business of selling boats to boat dealers. Okay, and he came to me because he said, I'm not getting the kind of growth out of my business that I want. Can you help me? And I took him through the process. We got to the cravings piece. So his target customer groups were boat dealers. And what we did is we got them geographically located to make it fast and easy to get to. So then we came to break that down and say, what do these boat dealers crave? Well, they don't crave boats that float. They just kind of take that for granted, right? They don't crave electronics that work. So we had to dig deeper. And I said, well, look at what keeps these dudes awake at night. So after a lot of conversation, bang, what keeps them awake at night is fear. What keeps them awake at night was the fear that they would no longer be able to grow their business. That's what kept. So the craving was basically the adjudication and the resolution of that fear. That was their conclusion. So we came up with an only statement that basically said they were in the business development business, using boats, not to make too fine of a point, of as an anchor to their product package and their value packaging,
Well
right?
played, Roy. Well played. Yeah, with the anchor.
So, but to me, I looked at this, go, well, okay, if they're fearing growth, I know how to do that, right? They should be all they need to do, Josh. All they needed was a different perspective. They can create the skills and competencies and so forth. And I said, if you can go in to a boat dealer and instead of pitching in boats, what you want to do is pitch in a solution to their cravings and their fear of not growing. Do you think that would make you special? And they went crazy. I mean, that business today, nobody else is even near them. And guess what they are ending up doing? Selling lots of what? Boats. So the whole thing is, right, lead with the cravings, pull in the stuff that's kind of pedantic and whatever. It's a boat, could be an internet connection, could be a washing machine, who cares? Could be a lawnmower. The reality is, figure out what they crave from an emotional point of view, and then just play into that. And it's just quite frankly, amazing how it works. My only disappointment is that everybody's stuck with a textbook. Everybody's stuck with Marketing 101. Everybody's stuck with a USP process that, quite frankly, all that does is promulgates narcissism, claptrap, and aspirations. And my biggest disappointment is people aren't able, and talk about the power of education, people aren't able to be moved from that momentum thinking into other ways of exploring how to be successful in business from the point of view of performance and overall revenue growth. But I'm going to keep banging away at it because, I'm stubborn. I'm a contrarian. I'm
Yeah.
stubborn.
And so you talk a lot about audacious moves. And so I'm curious, what would be the biggest audacious move that you made to get your company up to $1 billion in sales?
I don't know if it was the biggest. I'm not a fan of silver bullets. I'm not a believer that there's one thing that can explain 88% of the results you get. My experience is it's all about doing a whole bunch of, quote, little things that light fires in people, gets you in a position where you can create your army of advocates and you relentlessly pursue growth. Okay. And so we just talked about the only statement. That was really significant. The whole issue of differentiation was huge, without which we wouldn't have even got started. I created a strategic game planning process that basically changed the landscape of planning. Like today, people spend too much time on the plan and they don't have any time to execute, or at least come up with execution planning. So it's like let's spend 80% of our time trying to get the plan right in an imperfect world, which is kind of funny. They're trying to seek perfection, as we talked about earlier, in a world that doesn't exist that way. So my reasoning was, we're going to loosen up on planning, on the strategy building process, and we're going to tighten up on execution. So I built this planning model that basically spends 20% of our time to get the plan just about right and 80% of our time on execution. And so there's a whole pile of elements within each of those. And that's kind of like my growth model that I created. On the planning side, there's a strategy side, there's the only statement. And there's this whole notion of heading west and getting it just about right and planning on the run, all of which have a kind of like a module of logic that says, let's not try and perfect things here. Let's accept that we live in an imperfect world. Get it just about right, and let's learn on the run. Let's learn as we execute.
Build the
That's
plane
the
while it's
only
in the
way that
air. Yeah.
this works. On the execution side, there was a whole bunch of fun things. Okay, just to throw them at you, it's about cutting the crap. It's about killing dumb rules. It's about hiring for goosebumps. It's about line of sight leadership. It's about fingerprint leadership. Like, I'm an advocate of strategic micromanagement. Okay, just full declaration in a world where the textbooks tells me I shouldn't, and I keep saying, yeah, but I got $1 billion. What did you get besides sort of like an assuagement of your kind of left hemisphere of your brain? The reality is, there are certain things that audacious leaders do, Josh. They put their fingerprints on them. They don't delegate them to anybody else in the organization. For example, who's responsible for selling the strategy? Somebody in business development? Are you kidding me? It's the leader who goes in there, sells, captivates, and gets the energy, lights fires. Why? Because at the end of the day, those people with fires in their belly execute pristinely, and guess what that results in? Huge top line revenue growth. And so the whole thing, sort of degenerates into what are the fun, kind of kinky things that we can do to get people really emotionally all in. And I spent my life doing that. I spend my life cleansing the inside. You talk about productivity, I talk about cleansing the inside of the operating machine to increase the viscosity of the value delivery system. Okay, because if you can figure that out and get rid of all the crap that's going on in your systems and everything else, sure, your productivity's up, but the reality is your throughput goes through the roof, right? And within the context you've just created, revenues just keep going up. So that was my world. My world was embedding with people, figuring out what they needed, the help that they needed, and basically doing what they told me. And that was kind of like the thing. So as a result, of course, there's just like a plethora of things that we did, and none of which I ever studied enough to try and figure out how influential it was on the top line. I had one host actually get mad at me one day, Josh, because I couldn't tell him what the formula was, you know, that explained, right, the independent output, which was revenues from a whole bunch of variables. I couldn't do that. And all I said was, I don't know. I mean, all I know is in total, we did all this stuff and we hit a billion. I trust that there's a causation going on there.
Just like we were talking about earlier, the world is not exact, and sometimes we'll just never have the answer. And so Roy, tell us a little bit about what you're working on now, and who should reach out and how they can connect with you.
Yeah, let me start with the last thing first. I have a website, bedifferentorbedead.com, and I've got tons of resources on that website. Like, I've been working on this for a long time. I wrote my first book in 2009, Be Different or Be Dead. And since then, I have a series of books, seven of them, of which The Audacious Ways I Took a Startup to a Billion in Sales is my last one that I published about 18 months ago, I think. And so there's information on there. Please subscribe to my blog. My content is rich. I've been doing this since 2009, and every week I blog, and I learn more about being different and differentiation as we go. So you can check that out. I do a podcast, not like exactly like you do, but you check it out. It's basically reposting podcasts with the host's permission and attribution, of course. And you can see that on my homepage. You'll see that there's an Apple podcast player. And so that's there for people to listen to. And there's a Be Different or Be Dead quiz. So if you wanted to find out where you are on the Be Different or Be Dead continuum, have fun, do the quiz. Okay. And I forgot the first question, Josh.
who's a great fit to connect with you?
Who is a great fit? Anybody that wants to grow their business. I mean, let me put it to you this way. If you are thirsting for growth, if what keeps you up at night is the inability to grow your business the way you want, you need to talk to Roy. Been there, done that. I figured it out. It's not rocket science. Put the textbook down. Phone Roy, 604-290-5549. Send me a text. I will always answer it. And let's do magic.
Well said. Well, hey, we're going to wrap from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Roy Osingh, for joining us and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets stuff done. You can connect with him directly by going to bedifferentorbedead.com. Now, whether you're out on your morning commute, in the gym, or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you want daily sales and a full calendar of prospects who want what you have, download the Fast Track Funnels Blueprint for free at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.